This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So today we're talking about something that's in every WhatsApp chat. It permeates so many conversations around COVID-19. Of course, ivermectin. So we're talking about why so many are seeing it as a silver bullet, even though it is as yet unproven and unapproved by the Ministry of Health.
Yeah, so I think just for some background on what ivermectin is, if you haven't actually received it through WhatsApp chats, because I think that's really one of the main ways in which people are talking about it. So it is a drug that is mainly used for the veterinary treatment of parasites, but news of it spread in relation to COVID-19 after researchers at Monash University Australia experimented with the drug and found that one dose of ivermectin could actually stop the COVID-19 virus from growing in cell culture within 48 hours. And so that at least was the starting point. And that has subsequently led, I think, a lot of people to build on that in many ways, and also to result in the kinds of discussions that we're seeing now.
Yes, and those discussions have, you know, in large part also included calls for ivermectin to be approved for use in treatment for COVID-19. So in early June, a senior citizen actually lodged a police report against the health DG, Tan Sri Noor Hisham Abdullah, for essentially saying that he's committing a crime by refusing to use ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19. The Malaysian Alliance for Effective COVID Control, which is a coalition of medical and consumer groups, have also been urging the government to include ivermectin in its list of drugs used to treat COVID. But on the other side of it, if you look at what the World Health Organization says, they, as of now, say that there's insufficient evidence that ivermectin can treat COVID-19. And they've been recommending that the drug be used within clinical trials, and that a group of experts so far have determined that there is pretty low certainty that it can reduce mortality or the need for mechanical ventilation, even the need for hospital admission. Therefore, what they're saying essentially is that there's not enough evidence yet to show that it can be used in an effective manner, particularly because the sample size that they've done these trials in are still pretty small and the methodology being used are limited.
So for what it's worth, the Health Ministry has announced that ivermectin trials have been initiated here in the country. The Health DG did say that they are studying its side effects for COVID-19 patients in Category 3 to Category 5. So, I mean, that's where it stands. However, if we look at things beyond that, right, if we look at the conversations that are happening on the ground, I don't know about you, Sharmila, but I keep hearing so many people talking about where to get ivermectin, stocking it up despite being advised, you know, that it is not officially approved, that there isn't, say, an official dosage from doctors necessarily in terms of how you should take it, when you should take it. But at least anecdotally, I've heard so many stories about people trying to stock up and people really having a very firm belief in the idea that ivermectin is going to be the silver bullet, and that just because it hasn't been approved yet, that you know, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't still kind of take a shot on it, despite, again, all the medical advice not aligning necessarily with that.
And that to me is interesting, right? Because we didn't see the same necessarily with, say, the vaccines, because with the vaccines, there was so much distrust, especially in the initial stage. There was so much hesitation in terms of, do we know enough? Is it okay to use these? So I think that contrast is something that I found quite interesting. And I wonder whether it also has to do with the stage of the pandemic that we're currently in, that now that we're about a year and a half in, a lot of people are just really frustrated and tired and essentially want exactly what you said, that silver bullet. They want something that indicates a clear way to end a lot of these troubles. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case here yet, because as we mentioned, The word is still out on whether this is the effective method to resolve COVID. But I don't know. I'm very interested in the psychology behind why people respond this way.
I think a huge part of it, at least for me, when I think about it, has to do with the complexity of explaining the vaccine. And this is something that I think worldwide has been a struggle because, there are so many different ones. So in trying to talk about things like efficacy, effectiveness, that can get very muddled. There's a lot of scientific jargon around it. But the other thing is also the realization that the vaccine is not going to necessarily prevent you from getting infected. I think the belief or what we've always been told when it comes to vaccines, the vaccines that we've been taking since we were children, for example, is that they will straight up protect us, right? They're going to provide us a shield against something that is deeply frightening, that gives a lot of anxiety to many people. But the realization that the vaccine doesn't play that role. Instead, the vaccine is going to keep us safer, but not necessarily just completely, not completely protected, I think. The realization that that is the case, the realization that it is more to help society, to help our healthcare. I think all these things, the nuances make it less appealing than something that is being viewed as a cure. You know, that's much more comforting, despite the fact that, again, the studies are small.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. This idea of the kind of a push for ivermectin, the conversations happening around it, and exactly what is prompting those, why people are so interested in talking about this drug that is as of yet unproven by our health ministry. Today, we are going to be looking at this, I suppose, the psychology behind ivermectin and all the conversations it's sparking now. Share your thoughts with us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Mahalakshmi Arjunan, who is the Executive Director of the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about ivermectin, the conversations around it, and what might be prompting them. So do send your thoughts our way. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Dr. Mahalakshmi Arjunan, who is the Executive Director at the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre. Dr. Maha, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Sharmila. Thank you, Lynn.
So despite the fact that medical professionals are still being cautious about using ivermectin to treat COVID, there's actually been a lot of interest from the public. Where do you think this is coming from?
I would say it's driven by fear. You know, the fear of losing something. And in this case, the fear of losing something that we really value. So it is our life. So when it comes to death, and we will just take any option in front of us. And we have seen this before as well in many other technologies, many other products. So the rationale and science now become secondary. Last year, the death and long COVID, you know, the COVID with category 5 and the severe ones, was happening to people we didn't know. When we read in the newspapers how many people died. But today, it's happening to our family, our relatives, our friends. Someone very close to us. Every one of us knows someone who have passed away or who had severe COVID. So this is the fear. So I think this is what has prompted the high interest among the public for ivermectin.
So I agree so much with all of that, but I also think that we're seeing this huge level of interest, despite the fact that we're also seeing pushback from essentially from authorities, from KKM, saying that the drug is, as of now, unproven. Why do you think that hasn't done anything to change the level of interest?
You know, Lynn, the thing is, with all this, anything to do with science, when the public makes decisions, science is never a factor to consider. It's always emotion. It's always, as I said, what am I going to lose? And I will just take anything. So that is one of the things. And I think social media and mainstream media, probably not mainstream media in our country, I think our mainstream media are playing a very good balanced role. many other online media from overseas, Malaysians are being influenced by this. And a lot of it is, they're publishing studies that has, in fact, not even studies, they're just publishing things that has not been proven. So the public goes there for trust, for, you know, that is where they trust, their trusted source of information. So can we have another trusted source of information to counter that? I think this is what we need, and this is what is driving the public towards the use of ivermectin.
Now, on WhatsApp and Facebook, many of the messages that are in support of ivermectin actually come accompanied by videos and articles that are citing medical experts. What do you make of this?
Again, sorry, Lynn, but this is not new. In every technology, we have got scientists who are divided. They've got polarized views among scientists. So this is not new at all. Science itself, you know, we are open to critics. We are open to debates and we're open to new ideas. Someone squashing someone else's concept. This is how science works. But again, in this time, I think this is justice is not being done. So those doctors or scientists who are talking in support of ivermectin, I really think they're not doing justice to the public, who are completely lay people and who are emotionally drained, who just want to look for an avenue. I don't think these people are doing justice.
So, as members of the public, then, when we receive messages like this, when we see posts like this, what kinds of research should we do to verify the credentials and facts that are being presented to us?
Not easy, because even if you go to any, you just do a Google search, you might just come across another website or another doctor somewhere who is in support of ivermectin. So this is where there must be support to the public, for the public. Where can they get credible science-based information? So this is where KKM and other agencies must come out with our doctors, our scientists. And if something that is completely out of order from overseas, they must be able to address that in a very timely manner. You know, this is actually, this is very scary, and it can take lives. So we cannot be slow on this. All these things must be done very quickly. Anything that comes out, and if something is captured in social media, which is really running viral, I think our authorities must quickly address that. And there must be experts talking about this and explaining this. So this is what we need to do now.
So yes, on that note then, what are some of the challenges when it comes to communicating accurate information when it comes to an unproven drug like ivermectin?
I feel strong messages. See, I've said this earlier. Now, we are not here talking about science communication, which is challenging, but not as challenging as what we really need now. What we really need now is risk communication, which is extremely challenging. Because when it comes to risk, science, as I said, takes a complete back seat. And there's a lot of mental noises in everyone's mind. And if we want to talk about messages, then we need to first penetrate those mental noises. So it's going to be very difficult. And in risk communication, we always say, every one negative message requires three positive messages to rebut the negative messages. So a lot of work needs to be done. So what we need to do here is alleviate the fear, compare COVID, long COVID, death, and ivermectin. I personally have read about a doctor who has died because of adverse side effects, overdosing with ivermectin. So can we use real case studies, real things that's happening not only in Malaysia but overseas? So these are the things that, you know, real things which the public will probably understand better. So we need, and you know, you brought this up earlier, the doctors, our doctors, scientists must come out with, together with single messages. We should not have a divide voice on ivermectin, which is completely unproven. So that is my take on this. So we need to consolidate the scientific community, the ministry, everyone must consolidate their messages and not be polarized among them, which will further confuse the public.
So many have pointed out the contrast between people's willingness to try something like ivermectin versus their hesitancy over vaccines. What do you think this stems from?
It's a difficult question, because public behavior is not very easy to study, especially suddenly a crisis comes up and we don't know how this public are going to react. I would say vaccine acceptance is in the rise, and that's good to know, because in the early days last year, people didn't want vaccine. Today, more and more want vaccine. They are, you know, they really want to get vaccines, although people still want to, you know, there are people who want to choose vaccines, but then there is a rise in vaccine acceptance. But still, vaccine is, you know, there's still a lot of controversies about vaccines, which I think we did not really, in a coherent, consolidate, you know, we did not address that in a coherent manner. So that is why people still are fear about vaccine. But ivermectin is something, it's a medicine. So probably people feel like, I better take something that can, the prevention is still, the other thing is people also accept, the public want expected 100% protection from vaccines. So the prevention, when it did not happen, we know some people who have gotten vaccine two doses still had are having COVID. So this awareness must be there that it's not 100% protection. So when the 100% protection did not happen, people are turning to another option. So this is what I can say, understanding, you know, just public consumer behaviors and public behavior. Very difficult question. I don't think I have the right answer. But what we need to understand, science is not a factor for public decision making. So we need to come out with really strong case studies, real stories of what is happening if you take ivermectin.
Dr. Maha, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Sharmila.
That was Dr. Mahalakshmi Arjunan, Executive Director at the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre, speaking to us about really public communication and the psychology behind all of these conversations that we've been having about ivermectin as a potential way to deal with COVID-19. So let us know what your thoughts are. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have other shows that we've done on this topic. If you'd like to look them up, you can look up Ivermectin for COVID-19, Hero or Zero. That's a health and living show. And tomorrow, in fact, we actually have a show called Why is Ivermectin Sold Online? And that will be with Emeritus Professor P.T. Thomas, the Executive Dean at the Faculty of Health and Medical Sciences, Taylor's University. Over on Instagram, we also have a whole series of fact cards about ivermectin and the conversations around it. So that's something for you to check out. Now we have some music. So keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.